Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show with your host, Greg Hill. Streaming live from WEEI.com and the Radio.com app. And now, it's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
Chance to win Red Sox tickets and to join us Thursday when we broadcast from the Sam Adams deck at Fenway coming up at 8:30 this morning. And they're great seats, and you could be upgraded to the dugout seats. So make sure you're listening at 8:30 this morning, and I believe at 8:30 tomorrow morning as well. But time now for Boomer Esiason on Patriots Monday. Boomer, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, man. How's it going down there? Or up there, I should say.
Yeah, it's up here, and everything's going great. And you are brought to us today by Town Fair Tire and by your New England Kubota tractor dealers. How good is this Patriots team? This might be the best team in the history of the franchise, Boomer.
Yeah, okay. Well, they just played two of the worst teams in the league, and I think that Bill Belichick would be the first to tell you that, although quietly and away from the teams, because yesterday in our pregame show, he tried to tell Evan Washburn that the Dolphins have some scary offensive threats, and I don't necessarily know that we saw any of that yesterday.
How badly do you think Brady and or Belichick would like another shot at a perfect season, if that even matters to them?
Well, I don't know if it matters to them, but I think it's certainly something that, you know, as we sit here today, is obviously very attainable, and I think they would love that. One thing I will say in watching what they were doing yesterday and how they have played the first two games, there is one thing that is obvious to me anyway, and obvious to the guys at CBS, and is that they are built defensively to try to stop Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. They have athletes in the secondary. They're terrific. They're smart. They pass guys off. They communicate all the stuff that is going to be required to beat Patrick Mahomes and his Kansas City band of merry men, because those guys are flying up and down the field. And I think the Patriots are probably one of the few teams that have the secondary that might be able to slow them down somewhat.
I mean, that defense has not allowed a touchdown in their last three games. Is this the best Belichick defense here in New England ever?
Well, I mean, the numbers say in the first two games they have to be, right? But their schedule is going to get tougher midway through the season. You know, this week they have the Jets coming up. The Jets are a mess right now. So I always say the same thing over and over every time, and that is not who you're playing, it's when you're playing and what kind of condition are they in. The Jets will be catching the Patriots relatively healthy, it looks like. Antonio Brown kind of fit in nicely yesterday afternoon, although there were a couple of misfires by Tom, and I think those were things that they'll work on. But the Patriots should have smooth sailing, I would think, for the next 3 to 5 weeks. And then, you know, around the halfway point of the season, their schedule will get a little bit more difficult, and they'll be playing a lot better offensive teams, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Tom looked frustrated to me yesterday at several points during that game. Meanwhile, they're blowing that team out.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's a perfectionist. And, you know, there are times where I've done his games as an announcer, and I can almost tell when he's really on his game. And when the ball is flying out of his hand, then he's making really good decisions, and the ball is, you know, in the air before the receiver is even ready for it. So there were a couple times yesterday. You know, it was hot. There's no question about that. He probably got bored somewhere along the line because the Dolphins are so freaking bad. But he's still had a 20 for 28 day, and no interceptions, and that's always a good feeling the next morning when you wake up.
So, Boomer, you were all over Brady for the Tom Terrific thing a couple months back and have been outspoken about the Patriots when you need to be. And gee whiz, there's someone who's a bit of a lightning rod on the team right now. So I'll just go ahead and ask, are you disappointed in Brady and Belichick and the Patriots right now for bringing AB aboard?
No, I'm not. I'm not at all. I mean, you know, the things that AB are dealing with right now specifically, and today I think Brittany Taylor will be at the NFL, you know, are in a civil suit. And, you know, when it's in a civil suit, I look at it as being a private matter between two parties. Unfortunately, in this case, because AB is such a lightning rod and should be a lightning rod because of all the mistakes he has made in his career off the field and on the field, for that matter. You know, I just think that they're trying to embarrass him, and he's going to have to go defend himself in front of the NFL, which is not an easy thing to do if you're an NFL player, as many NFL players will already tell you. But again, there's no, even though there are criminal accusations, it's still in a civil suit. It's not in a criminal suit. If it were a criminal suit, I would have a totally different feel about this.
Now, where she's meeting Brittany Taylor with investigators today with the NFL, Boomer, do you think there will be any discipline handed down by the league for AB at any point?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. You know, Lisa Friel has been tasked to handle these things and the ugliness of it. She's a former sex crimes prosecutor down here in New York. She's very thorough in her investigations, that I will tell you. But, you know, Tyreek Hill, you know, underwent through some pretty ugly stuff this offseason, and he was allowed back on the field. And that did involve potential criminality. And, you know, there were people who basically said that somebody did something in that house. They just couldn't figure out who it was. And he's still on the field. While I know the accusations are disturbing and they are problematic, I think, for all of us, it's still a civil case. It's not a criminal case. If, however, it does become a criminal case, when it looks like the DA out in Pittsburgh is going to be looking into this, now all of a sudden we're going into a different area, and then I think most of us would have a completely different opinion about this.
Boomer Esiason is our guest. Boomer, are we going to get the running up the score complaints again all season long?
No, maybe. I don't know. I mean, good for them. I mean, that's what I would try to do. I want to try to get ready to play Kansas City, because that's ultimately what it's going to come down to. Assuming, you know, everybody stays healthy, this is the NFL. We lost Breeze and Roethlisberger yesterday, and we don't know how long. So things can change pretty rapidly in the NFL due to injury. But I do know that playing four quarters and playing it all the way through, especially on a hot day down in Miami, is probably good for Tom Brady and his teammates, because it's going to get heated when they play the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm telling you, this is what it's all about. And I think Bill Belichick recognizes that. This is one of the reasons why he is not only one of the best coaches, if not the best coach in the history of the league, he also could have the moniker of general manager, and being able to, you know, kind of look into the future and see what's coming. And he knows what's coming. And that's going to be a very difficult matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs, even though he won't talk about it these days. But I think that's what they're built for.
I think they're only 17.5-point favorites against your Jets.
Well, it's not my Jets.
That's all?
Not my Jets. I don't own the Jets, man. Don't put that on me, man.
I mean, it's New York. I mean,
I know it's New York, but I am an unbiased analyst. I see the things the way I see them. I talk very openly about those things. And one of the things I will say, they are not my Jets.
What about, are they your Giants? I mean, I think that combined, the two are 0-4 to start the season.
When you say they're my Giants, then you're confusing me with Phil Sims again. They're his Giants. I mean, it is, football's over right now as I know it down here in New York, and I have to cover it on a daily basis. So there are a lot of angry fans down here, but, you know, quite frankly, there's really nothing the Jet fan can say, because, you know, with a diagnosis of mononucleosis for their quarterback, it's going to be 4 or 5 weeks. No matter how good he may feel today, that virus has got to get out of his body. They have to make sure that his spleen returns to normal, and they cannot put him on the field until he is 100% ready to go, meaning he has the energy to play four games, both mentally and physically.
Are we talking about Sam Darnold here? Because his coach would only refer to him as 14.
14.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. Well, I will say this. I do appreciate Adam Gase. His press conferences are fun.
They're incredible.
Yeah, they are incredible, and they give us something to talk about. So I hope he stays here forever. Well, at least as long as I'm still here at the radio station.
All right, so Boomer, coming out of yesterday, a million different questions only 2 weeks into the season. The biggest one to me is, does anyone know what the hell pass interference is anymore?
I think we're having a hard time understanding that. And I think last night we saw that in the Atlanta Eagles game as Dan Quinn threw a red flag, and I thought it was interference on Julio Jones early in the game, and they said it wasn't. So there's really a group of guys in New York led by Alberto Riveron. He's the head of officiating that sits in these rooms and decides these things. So it's not like, you know, video replay is going to fix everything. There are still people trying to interpret what the video replay says, and it's a group of guys that we don't see on TV. We don't hear from at all until today. So I think there is definitely a, you know, kind of like a misunderstanding as to what actually clear I forget what the words they use, but there are like four words that they use. There's hinder, there's clear and obvious, and things of that nature. And I don't know what's clear and obvious to those guys, certainly, because I've watched a number of these games now, and where I think that there is defensive pass interference, they have not called it, nor have they overturned the call on the field.
Well, Boomer, thoughts and prayers to New York football fans, and we'll be thinking about you, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys, I appreciate it. We'll see you next week, and enjoy Baker Mayfield having his coming out party tonight.
Thanks, Boomer.
All right, guys, see you.
Pats head coach Bill Belichick joins OMF later this afternoon to talk about the Patriots' win over the Dolphins. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
And trending now, driven by the award-winning 2019 Honda CR-V. 2-0 teams in the AFC now, joining the Patriots after that unbelievable 43-0 shutout yesterday. Plenty of 0-2 teams as well, but Bills, Ravens, and Chiefs. Do any of those teams strike you as threats to New England here?
Well, I mean,
at this point,
the Chiefs strike Boomer as a threat, and
as
the Ravens. I mean, we talked about the Ravens from the get go.
Yeah, pretty good. Lamar Jackson's on the come up, but the Chiefs should strike fear in your heart, especially they are the team that should trade for Minka Fitzpatrick off the Dolphins. If they get another good cornerback safety, that matchup is going to be phenomenal.
Chiefs and Ravens, I believe, meet next week as well. Bills will have a what looks like an easy game too, so they could be 3-0. Could be Bills and Patriots 3-0 in a couple weeks. Boomer Esiason joining us in part by DCU and Vertex. You can listen to it here shortly up on WEI.com. If you missed it, just joining us. Four picks, two pick sixes, seven tackles for loss, 12 quarterback hits, and the defense holding. Really, Miami had less than 50 yards through three quarters. The last drive was 64 yards alone, so they kind of they got their numbers somewhat respectable, but that was an unbelievable ass-kicking.
And how many did they get to four first downs? I mean,
I think they made it over midfield maybe once.
With all the garbage yards that they picked up at the end, they had 11 first downs
11
total.
Mercy first downs
in the end.
Well, Antonio Brown nixing the deal to settle the lawsuit with his accuser, per reports. She will meet with the NFL today. Ian Rappaport says that is a fast-track meeting by the league. And the NFL has on the radar the other player, allegedly a rookie, who was present for one of the assaults. We'll see if he speaks. Antonio Brown, according to Rappaport, Robert Kraft, not aware of the charges before he was signed. Last night, Falcons beat the Eagles 24-20. Julio Jones, 54-yard catch and run, the difference late. And Drew Brees injured. A couple of significant quarterback injuries in the league. Roethlisberger goes down. We'll see how long that is. And Fitzy, you had mentioned Ian Rappaport just tweeting about Drew Brees.
That's right. He has apparently a ligament issue in his thumb, which could linger for a long time. Drew Brees will definitely be missing multiple games.
Wow. So maybe it will be Cowboys-Patriots in the Super Bowl. Maybe those are the favorites at this point. Big signing for the Bruins. They get Charlie McAvoy done. 3-year deal, $14.7 million total. First preseason game tonight at the Prudential Center in New Jersey. That is a 7:30 faceoff. And the Red Sox, hey, they won two over the weekend. Joe Castiglione and I had good bonding time. We worked both games together. And nice two-homer game for Vasquez. They're only 9 back with 13 to play. Greg, I still think there's a chance. I'm calling me crazy.
Was Mrs. Castiglione happy with your performance?
She was.
Weekend?
Yeah. Although I ripped Colgate. That's Joe's alma mater. He was not happy. He was a little salty at that.
Really?
And I see Bentley is 0-2 as well. What happened in Springfield?
Bentley, they should have won that game.
What happened?
I went all the way to Springfield. They had several chances to do it, and they did not do it. So
bunch of chokers. That's 2 weeks in a row they should have won, you said.
Well, yes. They are 0-2, but I believe they're on the come up, as Nick would say. So we're on to a Friday night game on the 27th against New Haven. Cool. By the way, that will be broadcast on ESPN3, apparently.
Unless Triple E cancels the game.
Yes, unless it is canceled due to Triple E.
Why don't they just carry it on EEI? I'd rather listen to that than the Sox.
They should put...
Or BC, who choked Friday night, Curtis.
Oh, my God. I could hear that from my backyard. That was a massive... Oh, Sarah, what a massive...
21-point favorites. They lose by 24.
Oh, woof.
Tom Brady joins us later in the show. This is the Greg Hill Show.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Today he is in a Patriots uniform, though it was a circuitous path in getting here. A bitter divorce in Pittsburgh. A turbulent and rather bizarre ordeal in Oakland. Brown got his release, officially signed his New England contract on a one-year deal. New England has the option for the second year. But then the next day, Brown was accused of multiple instances of sexual assault against a woman in federal lawsuit. It's a civil case.
For Tom Brady on the Greg Hill Show, and Tom Brady is brought to you this week by Northeast Electrical Distributors, powering New England business with electrical products, services, and solutions. Also brought to you by your New England Honda dealers, driven by the award-winning 2019 Honda CR-V and the Mass General Cancer Center, Everyday Amazing. Also, Tom Brady brought to you by Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing exclusively in the sexual health of men. Hey, Tom Brady, good morning.
What's up, G-Man? How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Nice and warm down there yesterday?
Man, I was as hot a game as I can ever remember. That was I think it was like 103 index or something like that. So that was pretty intense, but our team fought through it. Our defense played incredible. And, you know, it's good to go down there and win. And we said after the game, division opponents on the road are, you know, are big games to win. And that's been a tough place for us historically to win. So to win the way we did was pretty cool. Very special day.
Were there any actual Dolphins fans there? I mean, I saw a lot of Patriots fans. Were there any Dolphins fans there?
It was mostly a Patriot crowd, so it was pretty sweet. They didn't have as many as they typically have, but, you know, it was great to have the support down there.
This defense, you brought up the defense. They have not allowed a touchdown since the AFC title game. What do you think makes them so good this year, Tom?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing what they've done. You know, and I've gone against those guys every day in practice, all training camp. So, you know, it's very challenging because they have great players at all levels of the defense, and they can rush. They've got great linebackers, as you saw yesterday. And, you know, our secondary is talented. They've been experienced. And, you know, all those coaches get them ready to play, and there's a lot of versatility. So, I just think the thing is any defense that we play, I know they're good when you got to earn every single yard. There's no free yards out there. You know, there's very rarely guys running open with much space, and they're just doing it before basically be perfect, which is, you know, a very hard thing to be on a consistent basis.
You know, 20 years into this thing, and they still can't stop the QB sneak.
Things too. So, I mean, I'm trying to, you know, find the path of least resistance. So, you know, we got it down there. We got a lot of options down there. So, you know, we're going to try to do what they're not defending. And it was good to get one in. So that's always a highlight for me. I usually don't have to go very far. I got to fall forward about 6 inches. So if I can't do that, then we got a problem.
I don't know. We get nervous, though. As fans, we get nervous when we see it. We actually get nervous when we see you out there late in a game like that. I mean, does it ever I know you're a competitor and you want to be out there all the time, but do you ever think about being up 30 and maybe sitting it out a little bit?
No, I mean, we talked about 60 minutes of football because, you know, the history down there and, you know, last year, like we said, it took all 60 minutes and we didn't close it out. And I think we talked all week about being a 60-minute game. So that was just a good way to finish. We scored on offense, got an interception on defense. And, you know, all this earlier in the year, I mean, we're trying to improve. We're trying to you know, I wouldn't say we're in mid-season form. We still got a lot of work to improve. So the more reps we get, you know, the better it is for all of us. And, you know, we got a lot of football to go. So this is the early stages of the season, and we're out there to play football. That's what my job is, and I'm going to go out there and try to do it.
What did you see out of AB yesterday, Tom?
I mean, I thought he did a great job. You know, it's to come in on a short week and then to establish a role for himself. I mean, it's easy to see why he's been an All-Pro. You know, just having one game under, you know, our belt together, there's a lot of things I learned, and he made a great catch on a touchdown. He got us going early in the game, and you know, he did a great job. So I thought all the receivers played really well. Jules, the nice part was we spread it around to a lot of different guys, and we saw a lot of, you know, varieties of different coverages and looks, and I think that's the way it's going to go all season. So who's ever number's called is going to have to make the play, and you know, AB made a bunch of them early, and then, you know, Sony had a bunch of carries. James got a few plays. Jules played great, like always. Phil made great, had a huge third down play. Josh made some plays. So, you know, good offense is just about spreading the ball around and going to keep trying to figure out how to move it down and score some points.
When Boomer was on a little while ago, I said to him that I felt like watching that you looked frustrated a few times sitting on the bench. Were there times yesterday where you were frustrated, whether it was with yourself or with the offense?
No, not at all. I was just hot, and I was just trying to not burn any energy whatsoever, and we're sitting right in the sun. So it was just I think I was just tired. It was just a very exhaustive day.
I know you really get – I think there was a piece in The Athletic that Nick was telling me about earlier – that you get concerned about the swamp ass when it comes to your center. Was everything okay yesterday with regard to that?
We're in pretty good shape. We're in pretty good shape. It's a very unique article that I was asked about. So it was not always to like the best thing to think about or to have fun with, but I mean, yeah, we go to pretty good lengths to keep, you know, the centers from just, you know, sweating all over the ball and my hands and their hands. And so,
I mean, you
we
suggest
do the best we can do. Yesterday is pretty tough.
I mean, from an innovation point of view, I think you suggested the towel placed down in that area as far as a solution.
Yeah, it's kind of like a wristband for your, you know,
butt.
A wristband for your butt.
Listen,
yeah,
if we win,
soaks up the sweat, and and then we swap it out and put some baby powder down there to try to, you know, dry up some of the sweat. So it actually works really well, and I'm surprised more people don't do it because, you know, so many quarterbacks to me, you know, what do? It's so hard, you know, and I dealt with it a lot in college, and you know, all my centers sweated. Oh, it was terrible, and. You know, the sweat would just splash in your face, you know, when you took the hand off. I know, so.
You're surprised more people don't do it, Tom, but I think every man in New England now is going to start doing this just as a trend, even if they're not a professional athlete.
Yeah, just try it out. See what we can do. Just try it out. It might work.
It's gross. It's like that scene from Along Came Polly when Ben Stiller bangs into the guy that's sweating and playing basketball.
Oh, so nasty.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly what it's like. And we're all out there. I mean, everyone yesterday was just completely sweated through everything they had. So it was, that's just one of those, you can't avoid that. That's hot for the people in the stands, and we got our football pads on. So it's, those are tough conditions. And honestly, over the years, we haven't played very well down there. I don't know what our record is, but I think there's probably more losses than wins, but they've got a great home field advantage playing in that heat just because they play in it every day. And, you know, for us to go down there and win like that was, you know, we've only done that one other time, I think, in 2007. But we got shut out down there in, I think, 2006. And it's just a tough place to play.
Do you ever feel like you guys are running up the score? Or does that not enter your mind at all?
No, not at all. I mean, that's not – no, I mean, we're trying to improve. And, you know, I wouldn't say everything was perfect yesterday. We could be certainly a lot better. in a lot of areas on offense. Our defense, again, is playing great. They're giving us a lot of opportunity. I mean, they had four interceptions yesterday. That's incredible. And, you know, we got great field position. You know, we still have some more opportunity in the red area we didn't take advantage of. So, like I said, our job is to go out there and play football and score points. It's not to, you know, do anything less than move the ball down the field. And, you know, they don't put us out there to run three plays and punt. We're supposed to go down there and make things happen. So, again, it feels good to finish the game the way we did just because, you know, you want to see how you are at the end. And there's going to be plenty of critical times at the end of these games coming up where we're going to need to be at our best at the end. And, you know, that's just good conditioning and good training for us. So that's what our job is.
Tom, the defense has been playing outrageously well, only 6 points over the last three games you guys have played. And Jamie Collins has been voted the Needham Bank player of the game. What's it been like having Jamie back for a second tour of duty with the Patriots, like the way Chung came back and seemed to discover a whole new kind of game?
Yeah, it's been great. And he's been, you know, he's such a versatile player, you know, covering backs, covering tight ends, rushing the quarterback, intercepting passes, playing zone defense. I mean, he's a great player, experience. He's a great athlete. And, you know, he just keeps making plays out there. So, you know, between him and Dante and Kyle Van Noy, Juwan Bentley, I mean, there's just, we have good linebackers and they just make it hard. And anytime you have good players at that level of defense, you know, it's just extremely hard to move the ball down the field. It just, you know, they cover so much ground and he's rangy, he's long. And, you know, it's a real position of strength for us. So I'm happy to see Jamie back. I mean, I've always loved my time with Jamie. I got a great relationship with him and it's great to see him, you know, enjoying it so much and, you know, loving being out there and just making play after play.
When a guy like Steven Gostkowski is struggling like he is there anything you can say to him as a, you know, as a leader, as a veteran, or is it that's something that he kind of has to work out on his own?
No, he's fine. You know, he's going to, you know, every person, you know, misses a throw or misses a tackle or misses a kick. So he's very mentally tough and, you know, he kicked the game winner in the Super Bowl. He's got a lot of confidence in himself and, you know, I've been around him for a long time. So, you know, he'll just keep trying hard like he always does. And he had a great game against Pittsburgh and we all want every game to be perfect, but you know, this is a game of skill and, you know, it's hard to do. You know, every day is not going to be your best day. So that's just the way football is.
Quarterback question of the week for Tom Brady is brought to you by Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing in the sexual health of men. And it looks like Sam Darnold will likely miss the game on Sunday when you guys play the Jets with mono. Have you ever been close to missing a game, Tom, with an illness?
Never with an illness. I've been close plenty other times with, you know, a myriad of different issues, but, I missed those games in 2016. I missed the games in 2008. But I think that's pretty much it. So never, you know, just the flu or anything like that.
Have you had mono or, I mean, should we be worried? Have you already had it? I don't think you can get it again. I think
it's very, very rare.
It's one and done. Yes.
Really? I think it's pretty rare in and of itself. So, I've never had it. I hear it's pretty awful.
Yeah.
Just how lethargic you are and so forth. So, hopefully he gets back to health pretty soon.
Time for the Foxborough fanboy question of the week from Nick. Nick, what do you got?
Good morning, Tom. How we doing?
What's up, Nick?
Man,
were you excited yesterday? Were you pretty happy?
You kidding me, man? The score is 76-6 Patriots on the season, and I think you guys are trending upwards. I got good feelings for you, my man.
Good. We'll keep it going.
Yeah, yeah. So my question for you this week pertains to social media. Comedian Craig Ferguson said, I think these are great rules. He said, my rules for social media are this. Does this need to be said right now? Does it need to be said by me? And I know you're big on social media now. You're on IG. You joined Twitter recently. What are the kind of rules that you keep? Do you Do you check social media when you're practicing? You know, how often do you use it? Because, you know, everyone else is addicted to it. And I'm just curious kind of what kind of rules you keep for social media, because you're obviously a very active guy.
I don't know if it's rules, but it's just, I think there's a specific point of view. And, you know, I think I try to make mine a reflection of who I am and what I care about. So I feel like I have a, you know, as a, I'd say as a public figure, you know, there is a responsibility to, you know, try to do the right thing. And I, you know, it's, life is challenging. I mean, I don't think anybody's perfect. And I think it's a little unfortunate in the world today, you know, people, the expectations are perfection for people. And then when we're less than that, you know, there's so much, you know, blame and shame. And I think that's a hard thing about our culture today, is that, you know, we're almost asking people to be inhuman. You know, and you can't have, you know, there's nothing you can do without, you know, the utmost scrutiny. And then, you know, everyone wants to just see everyone, you know, raked over the coals. And it's, I think that part is really challenging as a parent for your kids, you know, because, you know, when you're parenting your kids, you're just trying to, you know, you're trying to teach them, but you realize that people learn from mistakes. And, you know, it just, as a society today, I don't think we're, I think we're just, you know, it's a very challenging time. So, you know, from my standpoint on social media, it's just about trying to pass on or convey messages that I feel are, you know, either fun or, you know, something inspiring. I'm a very positive person, and I try to keep my social media that way, because that's my point of view. And, you know, that's how I choose to, you know, go through life.
I'm going to ask this, Tom, and I know I'm going to get the Patriot answer, but I'm just going to ask you to reach deep inside yourself and just give me an answer on this. Do you care at all about a perfect season? Is that ever on your mind at all?
No, and I'll tell you why, because that's, I think if you look at our team over a long time, you know, I think we, you know, to think about something that's going to happen 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now or 5 weeks from now is irrelevant. You'll have plenty of time to think about those when that's a real reality. I mean, that's so far from what a reality is. You know, you're not going to live your life going through hypothetical situations. And I think what you try to do is you think about the process, and the results are what they are. So if the process is good, you know, and I think, through many years of practice and preparation, we've, you know, our program is centered around, you know, winning culture, a winning environment. And we're trying to do the best, you know, we can do to, you know, make that process efficient, which helps us prepare, you know, gives us good competitive stamina. It's all about teamwork. And then we go out there and we play. And if we win, great. We're going to get back to it. And if we lose, we evaluate what we need to do better, and then we get back to our process. So I'm not thinking about anything more than 3-0, because that's the only thing that matters. That's what we got this week. Today, wake up, you know, and I'm thinking about the Jets and how I can, you know, how they're going to attack us and how we need to attack them. And it's going to ebb and flow over the course of the whole season. So there's big challenges ahead. And to take your eye off what's really important is the disservice to the team. And, you know, we're not doing that.
And what about comparing this team to other teams? Like, do you wake up this morning and go, wow, this may be one of the better teams that we've ever had? Or do you just not allow that into your head at all?
Well, it's only been two games. So, I mean, through two games, we're playing well, but that's, you know, one eighth of the season. So how are we going to do in the next eighth of the season? You know, that's where our head's at. And we've been doing a good job of taking care of the ball, penalties, field position, turnovers. What we haven't done a great job of is, you know, as many points in the red areas we've needed. And, you know, we got to keep spreading the ball around, you know, continue to improve our run game. So there's a lot of things we need to do here going into next week, but we're going to be challenged in a bunch of different ways. And there's some great teams out there, as you guys see, and the competition's tough. So, you know, that's where we're at.
Well, it's National Guacamole Day, so maybe a cheat day for you. Maybe some nachos later on, or is it, I mean, do you feel like little nachos, sour cream, something like that?
That's a favorite food of mine too. So
really?
I enjoy my guac, but I think we should celebrate. I'm going to celebrate. And I'm definitely going to have some guac tonight.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, unbelievable.
Come on, game. Let's get it.
Yes. Yes. I mean, that's the issue though with the nachos is that the cheese needs to be spread throughout the whole entire nacho plate. Would you agree with that?
I'm not a big nacho guy. If I'm getting my guac, I'm getting it more on like, you know, tacos or fajitas or,
oh yeah,
you know, chips and guac are great, but I'm more of like, you know, tough to pass up a good burrito with good guac.
Right. Fish tacos, of course. You can't, have you ever had it? Have you at least had a nacho, Tom? At least tell me that you've had a nacho chip with cheese and sour cream.
Absolutely, okay. I have. All absolutely, right. I have. Yeah.
All right.
It's not, well, you know, not regularly, yeah.
Yeah, no.
In a while.
I gotcha. All right. Well, listen, unbelievable job yesterday, and you're on to the Jets. So we'll talk to you next Monday, all right?
Sweet. Thanks a lot. Enjoy the guac day.
All right. We will. National Guacamole Day. Tom Brady says go out and have some. All right. That is Tom Brady. By the way, Nick, correction, 76-3. Not 76-6.
Oh, that's right.
Get it right, you honk.
I know. The least I could do when I'm talking to my quarterback and savior is get the score in the season right.
Donkey.
Uh-huh.
Greg, you want to know how locked in this team is, and even though Tom obviously can't say like, yeah, MF, I want to go 19-0. I mean, I personally have a T-shirt I've locked away for 12 years that I would like to wear proudly, Tom. So I don't want to say that right now. But yesterday in the press conference, like you said, Patriots are up 76-3 on the season. They won 43-0 on the road against division rival. What does Belichick say when he steps to the podium? First thing, we got a lot of work to do.
A lot of work to do. Yeah, that's it.
He's a lot of work to do. A
lot of work to do. All right. If you want to be on this morning, 617-779-7937, or you can text 37937. Coming up in just a moment or two, we're going to get to the news. And we will find out what a California millennial was willing to report to the police so he could get out of going to the county fair with his parents.
Yes.
Who he lives with.
Of course.
That is all coming up next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is The Greg Hill Show on WEEI. It's time for...
Good morning.
The news.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
With your host...
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Danielle Murr.
Because I am good at three things. Fighting, screwing, and reading the news.
Brought to you by the Northeast Men's Clinic.
There's more good news today.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
At the Northeast Men's Clinic, they specialize in the sexual health of men. Learn more when you go to northeastmensclinic.com or call 617-793-5000.
The president tweeted last night that the U.S. is locked and loaded and ready to respond to attacks on a petroleum processing facility in Saudi Arabia. Now, the president did not mention Iran specifically in his tweet, but Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, over the weekend did say that the U.S. was suspect. That Iran did have some involvement. There are satellite photos that show at least 19 points of impact at two Saudi energy facilities. A lot of damage at very crucial oil processing plants.
Huh. So, now, does Iran respond on social media to the president? Is that like
I haven't seen a response yet. They retweeted it without comment.
Are they big
with eye emojis? They're like Ron.
Are they big into the social media over there?
Oh yeah.
Well, you know, I'm not on Snapface.
I think they're more IG than Twitter over there.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. Well, it's probably going to Regardless of what happens, it's going to affect the gas prices. Yes. That's what everybody's all worried about, is that the gas prices are going
to
go up.
In the wake of the attack, oil prices rose to a six-month high today, a gain of as much as 20%, but I think it's dropping back down a little bit now, so that's good news for you. Okay. Felicity Huffman, within the next 60 days, will have to start serving her 14-day sentence, which was handed down in the wake of the college bribery admissions scandal. She's also going to have to pay a $30,000 fine and be on supervised release for 1 year. She'll also have to do 250 hours of community service.
Uh-huh.
Now, they're thinking that she's probably going to wind up doing, because it's federal, about 85% of her sentence, which will wind up being 12 days.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people out there are complaining that she was given too easy of a sentence. And I believe the max here was 30 days that they could have gotten.
Really?
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on that? I mean,
I don't know. I mean, it seems kind of, I guess, kind of lenient. Are they saying it's because she's, I'm sure they're saying it's because of race or because she's
a high profile actress,
she's a celebrity justice. I don't know. 14 isn't like 12 days or 14 days in prison for somebody like that.
That's
like a pretty big punishment.
It's not like she's going to Rikers, though.
Well, yeah, like does she go like to?
She's going to some she facility in California.
Yeah.
Does she go to like the Martha Stewart Memorial one in Connecticut, right, where it's basically probably like a sleepaway camp?
It's a 2-week cleanse.
Yeah. You know about those, huh?
That's right.
Boy, Curtis is having a rough morning back
there. I mean, I don't know. I think, Curtis, you were saying last week, did you say she shouldn't do any jail time?
No, I think she should absolutely
do jail
time.
You think she should have done more than 14 days?
Yes.
Really?
You have to consider how many people are affected by these decisions to screw with test scores. It's one thing to donate and buy a library. That's a way that's helping a university and also getting your student in the school.
Yeah.
By messing with how the tests are taken and hiring people that are the proctors for these tests, and the whole system was basically collapsed because of this.
Well, and she said in court on Friday that her daughter was pissed because her daughter didn't even know about it. I think in the Lori Loughlin case, my assumption is that the Instagram influencer, her daughter,
Olivia Jade
knew all about it. But I mean, to do that do that to your kid when you're Felicity Huffman, right, is it's pretty lame.
Think about the self-esteem of the child. Your mom thinks so little of you that she's paying test givers to rig the system so you can get into the school, when we all know they have enough money for you to just donate something and get in. But no, you're too stupid for me to be able to donate something. We have to rig the test.
Well, and this is Felicity Huffman and Bill Macy's kid. I've never met her nor sat next to her on an airplane, but like, I'm going to imagine she's probably pretty smart. Those are two sharp individuals. So why pay out and do this? It just seemed wildly unnecessary.
Because the mom wanted her to be at a certain school.
She wanted a USC bumper sticker on her car.
Good. She deserves 2 years North Korean hard labor.
Well, if they flail? This is what I didn't get about half, you know, the people that got into this stuff. It's kids that just did not qualify at all to get into these universities. Great, you get in, you still have to spend 4 or 5 years there proving yourself and actually doing the work.
Right.
But I do want the experience of, like, game days, partying. I don't really care about school, as you guys all know.
How do you get posed for a shoot showing that you're a crew team member and not ask questions?
Well, that's the Olivia deal. I don't think Felicity Huffman's kids did the pictures for the scholarships. She just basically paid off the proctors to get them a good score on the SATs or whatever. I mean, so 14. I mean, imagine being her roommate in prison. Like, I don't think William H. Macy goes on for a conjugal visit or
Jerry Lundegaard. Oh, geez. God. Now, is Felicity Huffman going to face the same backlash that some of the other Hollywood celebrities that have been disgraced in recent year will face? Like, can she work again?
Yes, of course. I don't think this doesn't.
Is she the Antonio Brown of college Hollywood scandals?
No, I don't think it affects.
This will not be.
I don't think it affects her career.
Not even a little bit.
Yeah. I mean,
help.
I'm sure. Yeah, I mean, in the future, if somebody's watching one of her films, is Ken going to ask if you feel dirty like he asked about Patriots fans this morning?
Good one. I like that. Hey, Ken, any response to that, pal?
I think we only have
That's
had
childish.
How many people did you get? Did you get your five people to call in and say they felt
we're
dirty?
Four. Well, I think four and a half, but you won't give it a half. Four. The guy's phone cut out. We'd have been at five.
That was Ken's lead this morning, that Patriots fans should feel dirty watching that game yesterday because of Antonio Brown. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Greg?
What's up, Mike?
First time, long time. You guys are doing an awesome job.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you very much, Mike.
No problem at all. So the whole clean thing about AB, you know, I thought his first three catches were really clean, so I don't know what anybody's talking about here, you know?
Yes.
But, no, I'm all for it, you know. I think the guy is innocent until proven guilty, and I think they need to leave this alone, let the guy play, have his privacy in this matter, and move on. Let's play some football, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There was I got a tweet this morning from Patrick Avery, who said the mental gymnastics that you guys are going through to defend AB is a little unnerving this morning. Apparently, the case is closed and this girl is a liar. The tone this morning is a little selfish and a little disingenuous.
This morning? It's been 7 days of this.
Yeah, it's not new.
Well, I mean, listen, there was a woman, the woman who called right off the bat this morning from the Cape said that she was disgusted watching that game.
Oh, we've had a few callers that have restored my faith in this fan base a little bit today, that things are in perspective, that you don't have to be such a rabid fan that there is no line that you can't cross, that at some point things can happen off the field which make you sick to your stomach to watch the on-the-field performance.
The past week has been embarrassing for Patriots fans. I mean, people are screaming at the top of their lungs, she's getting married this weekend. How could she have been raped? It's like,
you think it's embarrassing?
Jeez.
Yes.
I mean, embarrassing to wait for the legal
system? To spend
system?
A week poking holes in rape claims because you want a guy to catch passes for your team, calling her a money-grubbing whore, saying all those things are absurd. And that's been all over the place from Patriots fans ever since the news broke last Tuesday.
So, in your mind, it's okay to make every determination about Antonio Brown based on what she said, but no determination about her based on what Antonio Brown says. Why? Because he's the guy?
Incorrect. Antonio Brown still gets paid. They wait 1 week to see the news, hear her conversation with the NFL investigative team. They know they can beat the Dolphins without him. Instead, they make him a focal point. And, Ian Rappaport reports Sunday morning they plan on, quote, feeding him in the offense. I mean, you don't have to do that.
Why wouldn't you, though? Why wouldn't you feed him? It's about football.
Right. And they would have won the game. I think they would have won the game. They had two touchdowns on defense. They didn't need anything on offense. They would have won 14-0 if they didn't even have an offensive team on the field on Sunday.
Well, it would have been 13-0 because Gostkowski would have missed one of those extra points. But I digress. This has 100% to do with his pattern of behavior. That's why. If this was somebody who could be a Walter Payton Man of the Year Award nominee and all of a sudden these scurrilous claims were made, people would take a step back and pause. But because this is the guy who froze his feet in France, who went Facebook Live in the locker room, who fought with Ben Roethlisberger and made people think that he was actually a good guy, and who took a hot air balloon to get kicked out of the Raiders, that's why everyone is freaking out. Because he's a clown. Because he's a clown, that's why.
Yes.
Off the field, he's a clown. But the claims don't have anything to do with the fact that the guy acts like an idiot and plays a fool. To me, that's where I separate the two. I didn't want him on the team. He's here now. He's a great football player. I'll pass judgment on these claims later on.
You're going to wait and see what happens like everybody else in a civil case. And correct. wait for the NFL. I mean, she's going to meet with the NFL today. I assume that if they believe that her claims are valid, that they'll suspend him, right?
Okay, but you have the owner now, Robert Kraft, if you believe this report, saying he would not have signed him if he knew this ahead of time. So the owner has second thoughts. I do. He had this whole on-field conversation with the Rosenhauses, unless that was staged, which it could have been. I think there's a divide at the top of the organization about this signing.
Between Mr. Kraft and Bill Belichick.
Yep. Belichick just powered it, pushed it through, and Kraft had no idea what was going on, thanks to Rosenhaus, and now he's upset about it. And he looks bad, and he knows it.
Hello, Dan?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
So the big difference, to me at least, is that these are civil charges. They're not criminal charges. And if there were civil charges against anybody in that room, I'd be more on your side than against the person charging you guys, because it's just a claim, and if it was really
negotiating a settlement, if you believe the reports this morning and over the weekend, they were negotiating a settlement for quite some time.
Yes.
And then the bag of cash got to $2 million, and he wasn't going to pay $2 million.
Right.
Is that more in his favor or in her favor when you're trying to make a determination? I mean, the problem with this whole thing is none of us were there, and none of us are lawyers.
Right.
And none of us are NFL investigators, so all we can do is look at the information that we've been provided and try to make a decision as a fan about what really happened.
Right.
Right.
But I mean, but the fact, do you, We talked about this earlier, but do you think the fact that he was going to pay her, obviously, and make it go away was, and then it got to be $2 million, is that in his favor or is that in her favor?
I think that's in his.
You think it's in his?
I think it's in his.
What do you guys think?
I think that's, you can't say conclusively, but that makes it more likely that he was considering admitting guilt to a form of paying her off.
That's my reaction to it.
I think it's the opposite, Ken. I think he was willing to give her some money to quiet this headache.
Right.
And then it got to a point where he was like, okay, this is just ridiculous now. I'm not paying you this much.
And it's pretty clear where the $2 million report is coming from. That's coming from Rosenhaus and Antonio Brown's side of this. Right?
So you don't buy that either.
No. I mean, why would Brittany Taylor be leaking that she turned down $2 million from Antonio Brown?
She seems to have leaked an awful lot of things already at this point.
Yeah, well, Both
sides have. And does he wish now that he had paid the $2 million? Maybe. Maybe just because this is a giant headache.
I don't think he does. This is Jim. Hey, Jim, what's up?
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Hey
listen, the Antonio Brown situation does not detract from me watching the Patriots and enjoying them, okay? What happens off the field and court, that's one thing. But as a fan, Ken Laird is saying I should feel dirty.
Yes.
I don't feel dirty. I enjoy a wonderful football team playing, a team that has a great defense. I enjoy football, and I enjoy watching the Patriots, regardless of Antonio Brown. And, Ken, as far as you're concerned, you're entitled to your opinion, but you're not a Patriots fan, okay? You're a Red Sox lackey suck-up. You're nothing more than an extension of the... that's all you are. You're an extension of the Boston Globe, who's ticked off that the Red Sox are barely a footnote on the Boston sports scene. So let's face it. You're a bitter guy whose beloved Red Sox stink. And you're going to be rooting against the Patriots all year. And go ahead, be miserable. While the Patriots win, you can go, with the Red Sox, when the season is over, and go play golf with them if you want. That's fine with me. But don't tell Patriot fans they should feel dirty.
No, that's
and you mischaracterized
okay,
me, Greg.
Okay, my friend.
Thank you, Jim. Good luck. Have a good season. I never have told. I want that stricken from the record. If I said that, I don't want to tell Patriots fans how to feel. I would just feel better about life and humanity if I got five to admit they felt dirty. As a fan, you feel however you want. It's not me to tell you how to feel.
I mean, so you're not a Patriots fan. So did you feel dirty watching that game?
Yeah, I kind of did.
You did?
By association, yeah. Just like, plus, they're forcing it to him. Jim should feel a little nervous that they've gone overboard. Way too many eggs in this guy's basket in week one. And this could collapse this week.
Absolutely not. You definitely want the whole thing. My feeling going into yesterday's game was get him involved early, Greg, because if it proves out that he can run curls and slants and outs quickly enough and integrate into the offense, they may double him up, which means you're going to get some singles on White, Burkhead, but especially Gordon and Edelman. And when they're open all day, the Patriots offense will be unstoppable.
Or they got him involved early to satiate his ego and make sure that he wouldn't start bitching on the sideline like he did everywhere else he's
been.
Well,
then thank God they signed him, because what they need is another sideline problem. No, absolutely.
This is going to cost Edelman a Hall of Fame berth. That's what it is.
There are not oven mitts you can hold that hot take with, dillweed. Yes.
This is Mike from Connecticut. Yes, Mike.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Great show.
Thank you.
So listen, full disclosure, I am completely anti-Patriots and anti-Antonio Brown, and yeah. I'm anti-Cowboys and anti-Ezekiel Elliott, and I defended both of them till I was blue in the face, because I hate seeing situations like this where all of the evidence and everything is like the court of public opinion tries to take over and make these guys guilty when there's nothing actually saying that they're guilty of anything. So I hate seeing like this, because my first instinct is to be like, well, as a father, if this was my son, that's like one of the first things that always comes out of it, I think of like this. And if I was a father who had a son that was an athlete that was getting falsely accused of stuff like this, I would be absolutely livid. Because not only that, what happens when you have the serious allegations where you have women who are in fact sexually assaulted or sexually abused by these athletes that are afraid to come out now? It's disgraceful to me that people are actually willing to go after guys like Antonio Brown because of something like this. Put your put the sports aspect of it aside. Forget which cloth he wears, all right? The fact that he's a Patriot or a Steeler or whatever should be irrelevant to this. This is a guy. This is a man, all right? And all this stuff stems from that nonsensical, false narrative, you know, known as hashtag Me Too, where every time somebody accuses somebody of something, they're just automatically supposed to just assume guilt. You know, this is what happened. This is, you knew this was coming. And every time somebody comes out and says something, it's like, oh, well, he's an athlete. He must be guilty. Look at this guy. Look at his clown personality. The fact that he's a clown should be irrelevant. You know, he doesn't have a history of sexually assaulting anybody. You know, I mean, guy, for the love of God, I'm a huge Giants fan. But I'm not exactly proud of what Lawrence Taylor did off the field when he was, wrecking shop back in the 80s. You know, you knew he wasn't the greatest guy.
Right. Thank you for your call, Mike. Here's a 781 text that says, I didn't feel dirty because I didn't watch it at all. I will not watch this team while this cancer is on it.
Wow. That's so two for me. That's six, though. That's two and one.
Good morning, Dan Shaughnessy.
But that's just you tweeting in, Ken. Trace the number, Greg. That's like the kneeling thing now. So now are we going to have Patriots jersey burning parties like we had down in, like, Wrentham or wherever they had that?
I certainly hope not before the case even makes its way through federal court.
Patriots fans love due process, unless it's a player on another team, and then they're very quick to say he should be kicked out of the league.
This is Tony. Hello, Tony.
Hey, good morning. My take on this is the allegation of rape is so serious, but what about he was accused of not paying the chef $40,000?
Yes.
Like that. I mean, that's something that's legit, not just an accusation. I mean, this is...
Yeah.
What he's doing. So
what about the haircut for his kid? I mean, he wouldn't come up with the, what was it, $10 at Great Bucks? Great Cuts?
Super Cuts, yeah.
I mean, it's like, I mean, that's why he wouldn't settle, probably. I mean, he's not going to pay the chef the $40,000 and pay for the haircuts.
No.
He's certainly not going to give her $2 million, right? That's why, I mean, oftentimes those with the most money are the cheapest. And that's how they keep their money.
Yes.
All right. Well, Ken says that you should own up and admit that you feel dirty this morning,
yes.
Patriots fans.
Yes. So British police are on the hunt for a unique solid gold toilet that was stolen from part of an art exhibit from the home in England where Winston Churchill was born. Didn't
really?
You visit that? Or did you go to the museum?
No, I've been to the Churchill, to the War Museum.
Okay.
Which I think... Who else? I think Curtis at one point told me that he went to that too. Was that you, Ken?
No, Curtis. He lived there for a couple of years. Yeah, he loves that place.
It's the Churchill War Museum. It's amazing when you go to England to go there. But I've never been to his home. How much? Well, now is it like some valuable toilet or something like that?
It's worth $1.25 million.
Wow. Solid gold.
Solid
toilet.
Gold.
How do you sell that on the open market? Like, I mean, there
you
can't
melt
be too
it
many.
Down, I think, right?
Yeah, there can't be too many solid gold toilets that are floating around.
So they're saying that the toilet was likely taken early Saturday.
Yeah.
And thieves used a couple of vehicles to extract it from the place. And because it was connected to the plumbing system, the removal caused significant damage and flooding.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Thames Valley Police Detective Inspector Jess Milne.
A group of offenders broke into the palace and stole a high-value toilet made out of gold that was on display. We believe they used at least two vehicles during the offence. The artwork has not been recovered at this time. A 66-year-old man has been arrested in connection with this incident, and he is currently in police custody.
The Patriots are getting the gold toilet to put in the locker room for Antonio Brown.
I knew
this will be like, this will be the plot of Ocean's 18 or whatever.
The next Austin Powers movie. Solid gold toilet, Greg. Wait, now, why would somebody have a solid, like, does it flush easy? Does it clean easy? I thought gold was like a semi-soft metal.
It's FU money. It's FU money.
Well, this is like a Mariah Carey thing. Like, Winston Churchill had a solid gold toilet? Those are the kind of plums you need to lead the world against the greatest evil known to man, right?
But he was the greatest because he did all of his work from bed. Like, he would never get out of bed. Like, the guy would lie around in bed all day and make everybody come and have meetings with him.
Is that where you're headed?
Who wouldn't want to do that, though? Like who would not want to lie around in bed all day and have all your meetings there? This is Mike, especially on a Monday after a Patriots game. Hello, Mike.
Hey, I want to know if Ken feels dirty when he watches the Red Sox. Because the same owner of the Red Sox owns the Globe, and they they refuse to divulge into their own sexual harassment scandal. So I'll hang up and hear what you guys have to say.
Do you feel dirty when you watch the Red Sox, Ken?
I don't. I have at times this year when Price is on the mound.
All right. Well, coming up, I have the unfortunate duty of delivering an audio eulogy for one of the greatest Boston music legends of all time.
Sad.
Sad and
very
surprising.
Sad, yes.
Sad and surprising, yes. News. So that is coming up on today's Greg Hill Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.